Medusa Farm, 5th of July. Rain again. Rain like yesterday and the day before. And more rain to come.
A new play by Simon Armitage, set in the near future.
Is it true what you said about everywhere being water?
Like the world melted. Everything fluid. Nothing fixed anymore.
Inspired by the filmmaker Derek Jarman.
Did I fall in the river? No. The river fell into me, into everyone.
The Raft of the Medusa, on Saturday the 18th of April at 2:30 on BBC Radio 4.
The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
Writing the Century, the Journal of a Joskin, adapted from the journals of Fred Kitchin by Stephen Wakelam.
1940, March the 11th. After work, a walk. Long, streaky clouds scurrying by. The wind moaning through the leafless hedge. Lights beginning to glow from our little cluster of houses around here. Went to walk because we are in Lent, and according to custom, I have given up tobacco. The turnips you can smell a mile away now the frost is going. No work was possible on the land during February because of the frost. A hard frost and a bright moon. It's too cold to get washed, which I had intended to do. Anyone wanting a bath will have to manage with a dry rub. The feminine faction of my family have gone to the pitches, so I've stoked up the fire and had a pipe. This war is a queer business. The most noticeable thing about it is the half-truths and secrecy. The army today don't sing, and they march as if they don't enjoy it. They walk about the town as if their uniform meant nothing to them. Went into town expressly to view my features, exposed to everybody's gaze in Victoria Square, which my daughter Joyce told me was gummed to the glass of my brother's stationer's window.
Not bad.
Mr. Kitchin?
Yes.
I'm Mr. Moore.
Yes.
I thought I recognised you. You've come to have a look at yourself and your book, Brother to the Ox.
Well, no one else is. I thought I'd try and start a crowd.
No, it looks fairly good. We received an advance copy, thought we'd highlight it.
Thanks.
It's your first?
I hope so.
After a great deal of effort?
About 10 years. Ooh.
Well, doesn't read like that.
Well, thanks. You've done me proud.
You're still working at Kilton?
At Calman, yes. The place is overstocked with inferior cattle. The land is filthy with weeds and rubbish. There is not either men nor horses to prove good husbandry. A Frisian heifer calved tonight under great difficulties. We nearly lost the heifer and her calf. The ground is still very cold, but the time is that I should dig. Sold a few radish, lettuce, cress, and a row of broad beans. Yes, 5 minutes. My book is coming out the 28th of March. A fortnight today. Feels like I'm waiting for a date. In the meantime, I keep on digging. But things are moving.
It's here.
Just washing my hands. Thanks.
Looks nice. A proper book.
Two of them. This is a great day for our house. Two nicely bound copies of my book came this morning. And if I feel unduly proud and conceited, it is excusable. The book looks handsome in its white jacket. And after 50 years without having achieved anything of note, it is pleasing to review the results of my labours. 25th of March. I've just been shot by a cameraman. 9:30 a.m. in the cowshed. This is for an interview with the Sheffield Telegraph about the Cowman author and how I became brother to the ox. And my fame extends beyond Sheffield. Mr. Hadfield from Dent's Publishers writes that the London Evening Standard have selected Brother to the Ox to be the book of the month for April. And the Daily Herald had a column concerning me this morning. Isn't life just so sweet and glorious when you've done something worthy and everyone wants to shake hands. Everyone's friendly-like and wishes you the best. Though Hadfield warns that
Developments in the war are holding back book sales very considerably. May the 11th, Saturday.
How many does he say?
800 copies so far, he says. He says that's not bad. If I go on that way, it'll be in its way a bestseller.
Like Rebecca?
He wants a follow-up.
Well, you're always writing.
I'm a bit divided between one story and another. I don't get the time. I've tried to make a start on my writing again. Keep shaping a book called The Commoners, but it doesn't come easily. This war looks like being serious. Jerry has now penetrated Holland and Belgium, and the feeling in Italy is in favour of Hitler. So I reckon on a disturbance before too long. Several air raids took place last night around the east and south coast. This, says my wife, is going to Sutton-on-Sea to see my sister and Margaret.
War or no war, I'm as safe in one place as another. Well, I said I'd go. I mean, they're not going to drop bombs on Mablethorpe and Skeggy, are they? Let alone Sutton-on-Sea.
It's what they offload flying home.
Well, they'll have to offload in the sea.
What are you laughing at, Dad?
Your mother.
What's funny?
Well, why don't you write to Hitler, eh? Tell him where you're staying so he avoids you.
You're always saying you don't get letters, Mother. He might write back to you.
In italics.
Don't be daft.
There's too much going on to write, or at least to write undisturbed. We're all fearful of the outcome of this war, and today has been a day of prayer for deliverance from the fear of our enemies. The Germans have reached Boulogne, and the Belgian army has given up. The BBC want me to be interviewed and participate in a talk in Manchester. I have to have a voice test first, though. That might be the end of my radio career. It's a perfect May evening. A clear sky and air so calm you can hear people talking almost a mile away. The cuckoo in Stubbins Wood is echoing its voice across the meadow, and bats flit erratically around the house. And in all this peaceful scene, we're warned to be aware of German parachutists. The Whit Monday holiday has been cancelled owing to the serious nature of events in Belgium and Holland. But my wife is back safely from Sutton-on-Sea. I go to Leeds tomorrow for the voice test. My first memories were from the Sandbeck estate near Maltby.
No need to raise your voice, Mr. Kitchen. Just think of it as talking to people round your own fireside. You don't need to project.
Project?
No, it's a word in your ear. One more time.
I was born in Edwinstow in Sherwood Forest, but my parents leaving that place soon after my entry into it and going to live in Yorkshire, I cannot say much about my birthplace.
That's fine.
Fine?
Very natural.
I get the job.
You get the job.
That's it. It's a long way to go to be told you're fine. I'd half expected some training. But they pay expenses, then they pay me for having my say. First time anybody's paid me for my views. And, wouldn't you know, income tax is up to 7 and 6 in the pound, just when I've started earning. I knew there was something different as I walked up the hill home. All finger posts have been dismantled in readiness for the expected invasion by German parachutists. Children from the southeast coast have been evacuated to Worksop and district today. Big crowd of them on the platform. Some looking as if they'd not got 2 halfpennies to rub together. Others togged up. I bought a wireless off a chap at the Co-op Dairy. Been to the wood tonight for a wireless pole and gathered a further load of firewood ready for carting. We're preparing for all eventualities. We were awakened at 2 a.m. by the air raid siren.
Is it a practice?
Ah, not at this time. You get Cynthia up. Our family, Ethel, Cynthia and Frieda, spent all night under the stairs. Wondered about Joyce, working weekdays as a lady's maid at Barlborough, and Billy, currently with his cousins at Wickersley. I crept out at 5 a.m. to make us a cup of tea all round. We needed one. August the 10th. During the last 4 days, including Sunday, 220 German planes have been destroyed along our coasts. Our losses are a quarter of that of Germany's. Nonetheless, this war has come close at hand. Round midnight, last night, August the 27th, Tuesday, my wife woke me up to say she could hear bombs dropping. This I put down to imagination, but a brilliant display of searchlights and the drone of an aeroplane lent some colour to it. The family crouched in its little crib under the stairs, I walked down the garden path against my family's wishes. But I wanted to have a look at the most brilliant display of searchlights raking the sky over Sheffield. The night was cloudy and you could hear Jerry purring amongst the clouds. At 1 o'clock, I was back inside. A terrific crash seemed to make the house jump off its feet. A motor car had just drawn up and two bobbies come prowling around. Said they were searching for the whereabouts of a bomb.
Are you all right?
Yes, thanks.
We're just doing the rounds. Have you heard anything unusual?
Yes.
Do you know the whereabouts of the bomb?
Well, it were out in fields that way. Near, but seems to have missed the houses.
But be careful going near any shell hole in the morning.
Yes.
People are all right then?
I think so. We're all intact.
Well, we'll have a look when it gets light.
I lit the fire. Looking out in the grey light of morning, I saw two monstrous heaps of sand in the grass about 100 yards away and found two large craters where the delayed action bombs had exploded. The war is too near the doorstep to be pleasant, besides doing considerable damage in Sheffield and several places nearer to us. I'm trying to write, probably daft during these raids, as we're not getting much sleep, but I've drafted my new story. A statement of account from Dance. I have £118.10 to my credit. What a grand thing it is to possess £100. We have now sold 2,000 copies, and the Daily Mirror have written a letter of inquiry. Would I be interested to write some articles for them on country life, about 500 words? It was a mistake to travel in the blackout, but I wanted to look at Sheffield before going on to Manchester for the radio broadcast. I didn't get far. By the time I got to the station for my train, the sirens were going and I paid my first visit to a shelter. It's no end of a depth underground, and the room has good seating, a fire, an electric light. But in truth, I'd as lief be burnt to bits in the pale moonlight as be buried alive in the bowels of the earth. But it was terrible, a Stygian darkness, if that's the right word, when we emerged finally on the blacked-out platform, so thoroughly blacked out as you couldn't see the train standing by. I got on in hope rather than expectation, but it pulled out eventually after the all clear, with darkened carriages. It felt a far cry from the cowshed, where I'd milked a dozen cows this morning. So, I've had a busy day. I had the doubtful honour of going on first. It was me, a hill farmer from the Fells, and a toff, though pleasant enough, from Norfolk. He and the King are quite pally, it seems.
Well, you can't call a cow splendid. You might a horse.
Which do you prefer, horses or cows?
I think horses are closer to human beings. Have more connections with us might be a better way of putting it. People talk about racehorses, the beauty of them, but there's beauty too about shire horses. Things are altering, but I loved being behind a plough. A fine, fresh morning.
Yes?
You don't get that feeling on a tractor.
No.
I never wanted to be a cowman.
I wrote a nature story for the Daily Mirror about a rabbit. Posted the rabbit and have now received a cheque for 3 guineas. They want more, and it's worth following up. Where once I was chasing editors, with no success, now it seems they're chasing me. Only I don't get time to write, or I'm tired, and the boss is talking, though just talking, of getting a milking machine. I bought a pair of boots out of my BBC money, hoping I should not entirely wear them out on the cowshed floor. In truth, I have become wholly indifferent to the welfare of my cows, although I still filch an extra ration of meal for them, for sweet charity's sake. Soon I hope to say goodbye to them, for after working 7 days a week for nearly 40 years, I am inclining to the belief that 6 days a week would be sufficient for my needs. The boss has given us his Christmas schedule. We're meant to be working on Boxing Day, says he. Well, I feel like making a long Christmas of it, whatever he announces, and damn the consequences. I'm putting my feet up this year. Boxing Day, and I've got the sack. Nice little present. I nearly had a punch-up on my own doorstep.
So when are you going to honour us with your presents?
Tomorrow.
Not today, as arranged.
As ordered to.
I'm the boss.
And with that, I got a week's notice to terminate my employment with Jack Baddeley for my refusal to work on Boxing Day. It's taken me till 1940, 50 years, to find out that I don't like work. Or at any rate, do something about the fact. I don't feel like going anymore. A chance to lay in bed on a Sunday and holidays. A chance to write. I made £350 on Brother to the Ox last year. There are royalty checks from the Daily Mirror.
You're forgetting something. It's less than that. The tax is going to rake off £100.
I know, I've considered that.
But where will we live?
Somewhere better. Place with a bit of land. Smallholder.
I'm glad you're so confident.
I've had enough of filthy, dirty cows. January the 3rd. My last day as a farm labourer. We've decided to clear off all our debts. Started with the butcher, to whom we are perpetually 10 bob short. He seemed a bit surprised when my wife marched in, put the money down. Still, we've been good customers, and he'll miss us if we move. And Jack, when things had calmed down, hoped we should part on good terms, and is now allowing me free milk in a house until such time as I can find other accommodation. One of my articles appears in today's Daily Mirror. The lamb butts in. My usual check arrived for 3 guineas, which will keep the home fires burning for a time. I've written 50 pages on my story Pinfolds, being a month-by-month account of a more or less fictional farm. It's all the bits and people of my farms when I was a wagoner. My wife took the little batch of manuscript to post to Dent's, so I'm waiting on 2 fronts for something to turn up. We have much frost and snow. I slithered into town to post 3 more articles for the Daily Mirror. The Wood Owl, the Plover and the Hare. And to sign on at the Labour Exchange. My first time.
I know you. You wrote that book. That Fred Kitchen.
I didn't realise I'd be interviewed by someone who knew me. My reputation preceding me.
So, what are you doing here?
I jacked up. Handed in my notice. It happened. Will that count against me?
No. Farm labourer?
Yes.
You're looking for a similar job?
No.
You're 51?
The old days at Martinmas, you went to the hiring fair to sell your soul for a year. Now it's little filing cards in a nice warm office. Things not going well for us in Egypt. Here it's snowing. A hell of a lot of it last night. Snow is not the friend of the workless, though I've much to be thankful for. Mr. Hadfield has written from Dent, and my next book sounds hopeful. He likes what he sees, apart from the title, Pinfolds, which I may change to Farmer's Boy. My wife thinks I'm looking backwards too much.
I met Mrs. Harvey in town.
Oh, yes.
She mentioned her brother-in-law as having a cottage on his holding at Gainsborough.
Gainsborough? Do you want to emigrate to Lincolnshire?
Well, it would be nice to have a bit of certainty. It's not that far.
I'll inquire.
Help me move this.
Ethel has been moving the pictures and packing up. I'm now on the June chapter of Pinfolds. Getting on well, I think. Now I have time. Winston Churchill spoke on the radio tonight. Tonight I moved the mangle and a little bit of coal. Mrs. Elgar of the Daily Mirror reminds me that her stack of articles by me is reduced to 3. Will I send her a few more in the next fortnight? There is no assuaging the lady's appetite for country articles. I have 5 ready for dispatch. Mended some boots and did some pegging at the new hearth rug. And I've invested £50 at the bank in war bonds. I'm busier than when at work. An application form, which I'd requested, has arrived for a tenancy on a small hold in Oxcroft, Chesterfield, the Land Settlement Association. It's 5 or 6 acres, carved out of a big farm on the Derbyshire border. You can learn stock management and vegetable growing.
There is advice, always on hand. You're not left on your own.
I bought a suit of clothes for my interview. Second-hand, but stylish. Brown. First time I've had a brown suit. 22 shillings. I also renovated a hat, which, of course, I removed.
There's a central farm where the head office is. They'll provide you with a profit and loss account as you go on.
The preliminary interview was Saturday morning at 10. The Broad Oak Suite at the Station Hotel, Chesterfield. The board, which was in no way hard or notchy, was 3-ply. Alderman Pete, a Mr. Wilson from York, and the estate manager, Mr. Simmons.
There's a pigsty. Are you used to pigs?
Well, at one time, yes. They're intelligent animals. More intelligent than cows.
Well, no cows. But there's a hen run, a greenhouse quite substantial. Oh, and a goat.
Crikey, it's like Noah's Ark.
There'll be a valuation as you come in. The house is near new.
I'm assuming there'll be time to have a look.
No, of course. Yeah, we'd encourage that. If you don't like it, you'll let us know.
The house is perfect. We both agreed on that. The glass house is a gem. The pigsty's lovely.
It's all very open. Open country. Could be bleak in winter.
Do you want me to go for it or not?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, you like the house. Electric light, indoor lavatory. No traipsing down the garden.
I like all that. It's a long way from a bus stop, though.
Yes, well, you won't cycle.
I'm not cycling anywhere. Imagine me cycling. I'm not 17.
Well, we're not there yet. There were 90 other applicants. I think it's the promised land.
Well, if you'll just give us a few minutes, Mr. Kitchen.
There were half a dozen of us, finally. Alderman Pete seemed to favour my suit, so to speak. I could tell.
Mr. Kitchen!
And after sitting with the other applicants, I was called in again, and that done it. Well, Godspeed the spade, prosper the pig, guide the goat, cheer the chicken, and glorify the glasshouse. We move in Wednesday come fortnight. March the 24th. After slogging away at my book since January, I have this day written the end and got it ready for off. And the Mirror have put up my rates. Blimey. On Saturday, a cheque for 5 guineas arrived. I thought it was a mistake at first. But no, like a cow that's a good milker, they want to keep me. March the 28th. Mr. Hadfield suggests the title Life on the Land for my new book. I prefer The Pinfolds, but we'll let it go. This war has heightened the interest in the land and farming. I've been to the barber's and had my hair cut. Came home and cut my daughter's hair for spite.
Ow! Oh, don't know what you do to cows, Dad.
Stop complaining. I'm bored stiff with doing nothing. Finishing the book has left a gap, and I'm a demon. April the 6th, 1941. The Germans have marched into Yugoslavia, and we have now parked our tank at Oxcroft. Had an inventory done. Billy has been over from Sheffield to view the promised land, and my daughters came, mightily impressed. I've watered my lettuce, and my wife has had several baths in hot water. I've made friends with a pig, Charlotte, who can be a nuisance when you enter a bower, poking in her nose and asking to have her back scratched and her tits rubbed. She's pregnant again, and I've been told she rolled over and thereby wiped out her entire last litter. 7 little piglets.
What's she called, Dad?
I'm forgetting the goat.
She's called Peggy.
I don't know if I like goats. As it's near Easter, late this year, things are livening up, and I'm busy on my 5 acres. 1 acre's for poultry, and the hens are striving hard in the war effort. 21st of April. 500 tomato plants arrived. It's a busy job transplanting tomatoes. Peas, carrots, onions, I know how to do all them. And cabbage. Lettuce I'm not sure about. It's a big greenhouse, and there's 100 lettuce ordered by the previous tenants.
Thistles seem to be the crop we specialised in.
Do you want some tweezers?
All right, go on then.
I think I know where they are.
I'll be here all night.
Mr. Hadfield writes, wondering if I can visit London soon. He wants to include woodcuts for each chapter of Life on the Land, wants me to have a look at them. It's finding the time. May the 1st. It's a terrific job rearing tomatoes. One has to nurse them continually. They take more looking after than a hospital of sick monkeys. The weather having turned hot and warm, the temperature's too high in the greenhouse. My neighbour, Mr. Wall, set 60 cucumber seeds for me. These plants, I believe, being about as troublesome as tomatoes.
Pig and poultry rations are to be further reduced in September.
What does that mean?
Just have to find stuff to feed them with.
Watered the tomatoes. Took until nearly dinner time. 5 hours. And that's just one job. received by post via Mr. Hadfield an invitation for Foyle's literary lunch. This is a very grand affair.
If I can get time off from Atomato's.
In London?
Yes. That suit will come in again.
Is it good enough?
Well, it's my lucky suit.
Chicks have arrived. 75 of them. Everything you buy is terribly dear. My debts with this small holding for the month of April are about £250. And my credits, £12. The weather's changed again. It tends to in May. And I've had to light up the stove to keep up the heat in the greenhouse. An artist is at work on some illustrations for my book, Life on the Land, woodcuts by Frank Ormerod. The printers are setting a few preliminary chapters. July the 17th. So I set off with plenty of time to catch the 8:43 to Retford. Gas mask, identity card, loose change, a few pound notes, pipe and tobacco, and a little speech, all duly checked several times. Arrived at King's Cross, 12:15. And on the advice of Mr. Hadfield, took a taxi to Bedford Street.
Mr. Kitchen.
Mr. Hadfield.
Come and have a look at these. Frank Ormerod's woodcuts. I think they are very good. Here we are.
Thank you. I had to destroy my picture of John Hadfield as a stoutish middle-aged man with horn-rimmed glasses for an energetic and pleasant young fellow. The luncheon was at 1 o'clock, so we, or he, engaged a taxi.
I think the illustrations look splendid.
And we'll get a mention in The Author next week.
London looked blitzed. I couldn't fix my attention on his conversation and the ruined buildings. And I'm a poor hand at making conversation.
I want to say a few words about my former occupation. So it's all in Brother to the Ox, if you've not read it. 12 and 6, copies on show. What I want to talk about is what's called the current demand by farm workers for £3 a week. Well, there's a line about the worker being worthy of his hire. And in my experience, if the farm worker is only worthy of £3 a week, I wonder what people in this room would consider themselves worthy of. £1? I'm joking. So, there I was, amongst the right honourable lords and viscounts, John Bull barking at the feast. After the lunch, I wanted to stay for longer. Everyone seemed to regret that the time would not allow for more than a few minutes before train time. I've been asked to write a book on farming in wartime and given the promise of some BBC engagements. Back at our little layout, my wife had the sad news that we've lost a nice young pullet. And Charlotte was roaming at the top pasture, and she couldn't get her back in. The tomatoes are looking grand, though. Saturday, December the 18th, 1948. The road's very bad, icy, this morning, and my cycle skidded and wobbled like a frisky horse. Set off at 10:30, arrived at Maltby 12:30. Met several old friends and an old acquaintance, a friend from Corcoran days, who's bedfast and ailing. It's nearly 30 years since I've seen him, and he seems close to the crossing. The church is still the same. Saw Mrs. Oldsworth still doing flowers. She keeps on.
And you've become a writer?
Yes.
Have you still got that small holding?
Oxcroft? No. I couldn't make it work.
No. Oh, that's a pity.
Yeah, we gave it up as a bad job. Couldn't make it pay, or not enough. And I wasn't writing. Didn't have the time. We've got a bungalow now near Bolsover. It's got a bit of land attached. Keeps me busy. 2 acres.
Oh, property owner. Are you writing?
Not as much as I was.
You did some articles for the Daily Mirror.
Wartime. Country articles. But they're not interested anymore. It's as if only the war made people interested in the countryside.
I read that book of yours. Brother to the Ox.
That keeps plodding on.
Royalties. Must be very satisfying having books published. Do they pay well?
Well, they did, but the Exchequer takes a third. I've never been very good at figures.
No.
People say of me,
Oh, he's not badly off. He writes books and articles. Seems an easy thing to dash off a 600-word article, but to keep on one subject makes it difficult to find anything fresh. And nothing much is as good as my first book. I know that. Try as I might, my affairs are in a mess. December the 19th, Sunday. Sowed a box of lettuce, my earlier sowing having died off. I'm a third-rate gardener. I mean, above and beyond what's needed for our own table. Kill the cockerel. Three separate lots of carol singers came tonight, which is one of the disadvantages of being the owner-driver of a four-seater bungalow. They were very pretty. Let's see what we've got for you. They were all a bit young for a drop of rum, so they got threepence apiece, which we can ill afford. Was going to settle down to a lot of writing tonight, but somehow the evening passed away without any attempt in that way. She'll have to make an effort soon, or become extinct as a writer. I've been into town this afternoon and carried home a block of salt. The pig is dead and opened remarkably well, much better than I expected after such a meagre living. But it's a wretched business for the friendly, unsuspecting swine, who probably thought breakfast was coming when the butcher entered the sty. I helped the butcher to dissect the pig and lay its remains in salt. It's cut up remarkably well, with much more fat inside than I dared hope for. I wonder if it's worth it.
Well, yeah. It's cheaper than last year. There's more meat on the market now, which is good. There might be some bargain weanlings around.
December the 22nd. The pig terribly cut up after yesterday's events. A lot of trimmings, scraps and chine, pig face, fry, feet, tail and hocks. Delivered sundry plates of fry this morning amongst our neighbours. The Christmas spirit is apparent everywhere, human, that is. And everyone I've met is imbued with good fellowship and the splendid pretence, so far as I'm concerned, that all's well in the garden. December the 28th. The most remarkable event of my life happened on this day, 58 years ago. I was born. I got the pigsty whitewashed, ready for the next occupant, though I really can't afford to buy a pig this year. My finances are most distressful. Something's gone wrong with my books. They just won't sell, and we are in desperate straits. January the 1st, 1949. On this first day of the new year, I have bought two wieners off Mellors for £3 each, half the price of last year's wieners. Nevertheless, it was a daring experiment when £15 is all the cash I can lay my hands upon. It's a terrible expense to feed them, and tonight I did a terrible thing. I pinched some mangolds from the stack at the farm and mashed them in with the oatmeal. January the 2nd. Cycled to church this morning to find the service well underway. They keep changing the times. So I had a tour round Shuttlewood and Clown. Called in at the Crown Inn at Clown for a nut brown and a pipe. The habit has got such a firm hold of late, I can't give up. Came home for dinner. After tea, made a second attempt at worship, that is, and arrived at church in decent time for service. There's something healthy for both body and soul in the quiet hour of worship. January the 9th. We needed £8 for the mortgage by the 15th. And a letter came yesterday, wanting me to give a talk in Bradford, owing to the indisposition of A.G. Street. End of the month, so at short notice, but a generous fee of 7 guineas. So I took the job, and then got down to thinking what I might say. Well, one door shuts and another opens. And another.
Eddie.
Are you busy?
What, you mean right now?
Today.
Eddie, the farmhand at Herd's, turned up this morning.
How much time you got?
Well, what?
We wondered if you'd lend a hand with the potato riddle. Just about everybody's down with this flu. A week? That's 2 bob an hour?
It's 8 or 9 quid, which is quite a nice pay for a farm labourer.
Yes, all right, tell him. Starting when?
As soon as you like.
Good of him.
I didn't mention the fact that I've been helping myself to his mangolds.
There's a letter from Dent's.
How much?
£105.
What's it for?
Brother to the ox, mainly, which keeps on keeping on.
Or plodding, as I usually say. But it's better than that. Rumbles on, maybe. It's been a steady earner. And though reduced and nothing compared with my previous royalty payments...
It's like a windfall.
It is wonderful how I always get through.
It'll keep us going till the summer.
Well, we're not down and out yet.
It means I can get on with my writing for the next 6 months. In theory. Only, I can't put my heart into writing somehow. Perhaps I've had my brief, glorious day, and I'm no longer inspired by the magic of words. Or perhaps my courage has failed, owing to the adverse sales of my books. I'm no longer so hopeful as I was. February the 24th. The weather has picked up, and I must pick up a spade. There are folk who make a good living at selling garden produce. I suppose they take infinite pains, which I don't, and consequently I'm a failure at horticulture. There's much to be done in the garden and much writing to get on with. Torn between the two, I've achieved no satisfaction in either. I like digging and planting, but at my own pace and for my own table. I'm a dreamer, and have to get on with something. I never settle down properly to writing nowadays. A gentleman called this afternoon, asking if I would sign a copy of his book. Brother to the Ox, naturally. I wrote it 10 years ago, but was pleased to do so. Easter Sunday. Not been to church for a couple of months till today. I normally make a point of giving tuppence for the collection. I used to give a penny pre-war, but decided to double my contributions and attend less frequently. Well, it's 2 halfpennies in present circumstances, which make a little flutter as they spread themselves out atop a pile of sixpences and threepenny bits. Having just done so, the lights went out. The electric light fused and refused, though nothing to do with me. So we sat in the dark until they fixed half a dozen candles up, which didn't make things much brighter. The prayer books were out of date. The hymns were not the same number as other people were singing. The Methodists do these things better. May the 19th. I have hung out a card announcing lettuce for sale, and I'm hoping it has good effect. Sowed a row of dwarf kidney beans, dug the celery trench and dusted the gooseberries with Dennis powder. May the 21st. Owing to my advert on the garden gate, I have sold 10 bob's worth of lettuce and not a slug in sight. This will meet, or just about, the electricity bill. June the 14th. My wife's birthday. I forget which. Joyce, Frieda and Cynthia here.
What are you doing, Dad?
We've got a mole. I'm trying to catch him. I've seen him once and missed him. Handsome little fellow in a fur coat.
Seen him?
Yeah, that dry spell last year. They come out sometimes when they're thirsty. I'll have to put down a trap, check his activities.
The garden's looking good.
I don't know. I built up my hopes on a bumper crop of blackcurrants and strawberry. And the bushes were loaded with flowers, but that May frost has killed off a lot of them.
What's the matter with me, ma'am?
She's injured her foot. Scalded it with Cal.
I don't mean that.
No, well, we're not very happy at the moment.
Kettle or no kettle, I can tell.
She's what you might call vexed.
You're not earning anything.
Not earning enough. Not from royalties. You have to think they go on forever, and we've got a mortgage to pay. So, she's got the hump with me.
She's worried stiff, Dad. Haven't you got anything new to write?
I can't concentrate on writing. Nobody's interested. It's all gone sour. I'm a labourer, not a writer. That's old Castle's in the air now.
I've lent her a quid. I've lent me own mother a quid.
I hope she took it. Do you want to lend me one?
Thursday, June the 28th. We are on the stump. And years to go before a pension. Unless the Lord maintains my cause, I'm sunk under the wreckage. I write a card to say I have gooseberries for sale. Quite a lot. Herds called me in for some hayleading. It was quite a break in the dull monotony of life.
14 shillings a day for as long as it takes, which isn't long enough. My wife has gone to visit her relatives. Gave her £2 to keep her going, £1 of which I found in the pocket of an old coat I used for getting the hay home. I've been blackleading, peeling the potatoes, and fried myself a bit of ham for dinner. I've managed to sell 2 stone of gooseberries to the greengrocer at 7 shillings a stone. He says there's a glut on the market. But it's money in my pocket. Some day, maybe tomorrow, my luck will turn, and the sun shine again on my prospects. Blazing hot today, after weeks of rain. I lay out in the orchard, intending to write. Eileen Drennan woke me up to see if I would let her have a stone of gooseberries. And still they come.
Fred! Fred! Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you can tell your wife's away. You were having a kip.
Tonight I have sold my wife's shoes and made them water resistant, as a means of keeping my head above water. I was going to go to chapel at Creswell tonight, a quiet hour of worship which I enjoy, though not always what surrounds it. I can never meet that pitch of fervour or excitement that marks the true nonconformist. But I can't face people tonight. All this is because my Halifax is due, and I'm doubtful about having enough in the bank to meet it. It's been a glorious gooseberry summer, but gooseberries won't pay the mortgage. I've settled with the milkman and the newspapers, and that's as far as I can stretch. Somehow, I've got through half the year without my finances crashing. September 2, 1958. It just struck me, it's 56 years ago today since Father died, seeing his last look before he died. And I was left destitute, a state of being I have faithfully maintained to this day. I'm currently working as a school gardener, part-time. A very pleasant job for an old codger. It's quite a long time to be without parental control. 56 years, breadwinning with no relaxation of effort. I was only 12, and since that day my nose has been kept very close to the grindstone. It's 15 compulsory leaving nowadays. I was working full-time since just short of 13. I might have done better if I'd been able to stop on, but a wage was needed. I've always been lacking in push, not the thrusting sort.
I wouldn't say that.
Saturday, 13th of September. Called on my old friend Jack Blaby in Maltby, just in time to prevent him painting the kitchen window.
I'm finishing up as a school gardener.
Well, you're retired, aren't you? I should be.
Well, officially, I should have finished in July, but the governors want me to stay on a bit longer.
Oh.
I think it's because they haven't got round to choosing another gardener.
Ugh, there you go again. They might just like you. What about your pension? Does it affect that?
No. 50 bob a week. It's more than I'd earn for a week on the farm.
What about writing?
Well, I got a typewriter last year.
Aye? You done out with it?
Well, I've learned how to type. 2 fingers.
I'm forgotten as a writer. My occupation's gone. Well, apart from round here. A week or two's harvesting, which I enjoy. I miss that time. Ratcliffe and the WEA. Taxis to Fleet Street. Meeting young journalists and editors. Talks at the BBC. I don't feel as hopeful as I used to. Somehow ink and I have drifted apart. Cynthia and her offspring arrived after tea. They keep us from getting in a rut.
Hello, Dad.
I wasn't expecting you.
Trevor wants to show off his new car.
Hello, Timothy. Hello, Jane. New?
Well, new second-hand.
A fresh car.
It certainly smells like that. I don't know what they use to clean the seats. Where's Mum?
She's just been having a lie down.
Timothy and Jane have been with us again. Life is enlivened with Timothy and Jane. One cannot complain that life is a strain when one has a visit from Timothy and Jane.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, Duck. What's this about a new car? Oh, and here's Trevor.
With their new baby. A very remarkable and wonderful product called Roddy. Roderick's a bit formal.
How do?
How do?
Young children don't half give life to dying embers.
Tuesday, the 16th of September. I'm troubled with celery fly. Bought some Hexel, a new liquid destroyer on the market at 2 and 6 a jar. Went to coffee morning at Town End. The Methodists have a strange thirst for coffee and respectability. Then I got nabbed, but friendly style.
You have qualities, for example, that I lack.
Well, I don't know.
What don't you know?
Whether I'm devout enough.
The minister's a fine, hard-working fellow. A bit pious, perhaps. But local preachers in the main are a sad-faced lot. What he has, when he wants to, is a very persuasive manner.
People look up to you. You're an author.
Well, I was.
You've broadcast. I've heard you.
That's different from sermonising.
You're used to talking in public. I think you should try it. I can put your name up to the quarterly meeting.
Going to the pub when I can afford it.
Like a lot of the congregation, then. Why don't you try it? If you wrote the sermons out, I could give you some help if it's that that bothers you. There's also books of sermons you can use as a basis.
Well, I can't say brother and sister.
These are your objections, are they? These things are habit and custom.
I'm not very keen on that business of shaking hands, either, incessant. I mean, I don't mean I don't like to be friendly to my
family. You mean like the Queen does?
I mean, holding out my paw to every stranger that comes my way.
You could preach a sermon about that.
My best suit threadbare, shoes beyond all mending, linen in shreds. In which happy state I have to appear before a congregation in a couple of months' time. It's other people might not fancy holding out their paws to me. I was born to poverty and somehow cannot shake off its vile rags. I'm trying to get a new book into shape. A children's story set on a farm. Progress is very slow, but with patience I hope to write a readable book. I ought to concentrate more diligently on it, but life gets one down, and I have not the courage to pursue as in my younger days. What do they call it? Resilience. My wife has gone to Brighton with Frieda for the week. She's been far from well, but refuses to have the doctor. Her eyes are very weak, but balks even at the optician. I don't know what to do. Frieda says she'll talk some sense into her. She can persuade her better than me.
St. Matthew, 14. Be of good cheer.
First appointment with the Brethren of Grassmore. A cold and misty December afternoon, with lots of snow on the roads. Nevertheless, the journey was worthwhile for the warm friendliness of the congregation. Arrived home to find the charred remains of a 10-bob note in the fire grate.
Ethel? Have you gone to bed?
Yes. How did it go?
Are you in the dark?
Ethel had been emptying her handbag. Fortunately, the fire had gone out, and perhaps we may recover Ethel's 10-bob.
Mrs. Kitchen? Mrs. Ethel Kitchen?
That's you, ma'am.
Here!
This way, madam.
Mr. Cooper, the optician, loaned my wife a magnifying glass to help see her through till her new glasses arrive. And all on the National Health these days. She's going to go for a test at the hospital in the new year. It looks like she's got the unpleasant-sounding glaucoma, some way developed. I've made an important decision this month. I'm retiring from work on Friday the 19th of December. On reaching 69, it's time to ease off a bit. Though we shall miss the £3 school money. It's been a wretched year as far as weather went. Cold and wet. That and Ethel's condition has kept me in a bit more. The garden's been neglected. I have made progress with Foxendale Farm, however, despite the feeling that an old fellow of my age has no right to ambition. For Christmas dinner, I killed a hen. Tried to pick one out that was not in lay. Should have been easy, since we average only 6 eggs a day per 18 birds. The one I slew had one egg ready to appear at any moment and 12 followers up in various stages of embryo. Never again will I bother with leghorns. They flutter and squawk as if a cat were after them, and the devil was after the cat. As for laying an egg, not blinking likely. And it's cheaper to buy an egg with a lion's impress. That was yesterday, December the 23rd.
There were 18 birds. I've killed one.
The wrong one?
I've still got 18.
You've counted right.
3 times. It's like the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Maybe the one I killed was a stranger. Productive, so he couldn't have been one of ours. If somebody calls inquiring about a strange bird...
We'll keep mum.
Aye. December the 28th, my birthday. Yes for the gift and ministry of song. Have something in them so divinely sweet. I've been reading Longfellow to my wife. Tennyson is too sugary. She's in near darkness. It's most distressing. But in ourselves, our triumph and defeat. Got Foxendale Farm ready for Dents. I've no great hopes for it. I've met so much discouragement. Postage 1 and 6, which with return postage makes 3 shillings. 1959, January the 8th. Forget the trials and perplexities of an empty purse. Ethel went to lie down after dinner and had a slight stroke. I'd come back into the house to find my wife clinging to the bedpost. It's Dr. Duthie. It's this number.
Duffin?
Duthie. With the help of my neighbour, managed to telephone. I have a dread of speaking on the phone. And forget my fears of the damnable instrument. Mam's speech is the worst affected. Her legs not too alarmingly so.
Is that the doctor?
Dr. Duthie?
Yes. Can I speak to him? It's on behalf of Fred Kitchen.
January the 15th. The week has dragged away its weary length since Mum collapsed on Thursday afternoon. Joyce has taken time off work, and we take it in turns to sit with her, for she cannot be left on her lonesome. Her mind wanders in a mist of yesterday's. February the 16th. The most promising offer from Dents I've had for years. They're interested in Foxendale Farm, subject to their being able to sub-edit to their liking. They like its sense of period, strength and humour. Perishing cold day with snow showers. February the 27th, Ethel's eye operation. Difficult because of her condition, but with the hope that she might see a little better. But explaining what was going to happen to her posed a problem. She gets very fractious. Monday, March the 2nd. A letter from Dents. They are splendidly prompt in replying. The contract will be drafted for your consideration soon, and during the spring we shall be getting ahead with the manuscript and an advance royalty cheque of £23. The rates are due, £11. Paid the grocer 30 shillings on a £2 bill, which leaves 10 shillings on which to appease the butcher, the baker, the milk and the paper. In my spare time, of which I have very little, I'm concocting a new book for children. Further adventures at Foxendale Farm.
Happy birthday to you.
My wife's birthday. Cynthia brought a birthday cake. Either Joyce or myself must be with her all the time now. Though she cannot use a leg, she can roll out of bed, hence the need for watchfulness. We got her up for a couple of hours, and this evening Cynthia read to her from Barchester Towers,
and among these, Mr. Quill,
which she knows fairly well and it registers. But if I read to her from today's newspaper, it fails to register. Joyce takes most of the burden with Mum. But oh, what long, dreary evenings. I miss work. I'm not much cut out to be a nurse. I have a nice new paintbrush, but no paint, and lack the wherewithal to procure any. Those who have no teeth, the devil supplies with nuts.
You woken up, love?
I'd hoped to do some writing, but not much chance, for she keeps calling out for my company. June the 27th. On Monday, I saw an old lady cutting her lawn with a pair of hedging shears and making but slow progress. I advised her to leave it and would come along with a scythe. It was good to get out, and I called this morning and had most of the lawn cut. A young man came out and asked to what did he owe this honour. I'd gone into the wrong garden. The old lady had finished her lawn, but nevertheless the young man was pleased to have his grass cut by a scythe, for with the excessive rain it had grown more than a foot high. Reward, a cup of tea and 2 and 6. Somehow something comes by someone.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you.
At the end of the evening service at Dorley Methodist tonight, Cynthia arrived. Soon as I saw her, I knew. Mum passed away at 5 p.m. I would have been on bus. Joyce was with her when it happened. Frieda's been telephoned and Billy. I'd preached on God is love from the first epistle of John. She's been so poorly that, though shocked to see Cynthia all tears, it's a blessing. December 16, 1968. Called in the doctor yesterday for a check-up.
Well, your pulse is all right. Quite a steady beat.
Sounded my chest.
Breathe in.
Cold stethoscope.
And out. Can't hear anything. No wheezing. How old are you?
Near 78.
Well, I think your chief ailment is your age.
It's a lack of breath.
Could be the heart, but...
What's the but?
The engine wears out. You've got to expect that. Now, you mustn't do any heavy lifting or overexert yourself.
I suppose I felt better for seeing him, even to be told what I know. The only pain was when the chemist charged me 4 shillings for 2 prescriptions. I don't know if I'm ready to put my feet up just yet, though. I'm used to the active life. It seems I'm heading for another birthday. I'm not in that exalted state when one enjoys a snowy landscape. I took out all my diaries last night. What a queer record. Not sure whether gloom or sunshine predominates. Years of scribbling. I'm supposed to be trying to catch up with Christmas cards. The post brought my half-yearly statement from Dent's and eased my fears that it would not be sufficient to meet my commitments. I'm overjoyed to find the amount of £147.15 and 8, less £50 paid in advance, making in all £97.15 and 8. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But I start the new year with £150, give or take, to my credit. Friday the 9th of January, 1969. My typewriter has broken down again, which is a nuisance if I am to make a living by writing. But Dents have accepted Goslington and want to see an instalment of Nettleworth Barber. And this after once saying that fictional historical children's stories are not what the market wants. Typewriterless, I tried to tidy up my desk, but I'm reading fan mail. It's pleasant to bask a while in the rays of the setting sun. Brother to the Ox gets all the attention, but there is a lot from kids. Tuesday, the 21st of January. The most gorgeous day in a long time. I bought a Remington typewriter second-hand, £8, and been into Chesterfield to get a fresh stack of typing paper, foolscap, at Ford's, 5 bob. My main problem is now a rheumatic leg. Some of the journeys almost knocked me out. I'm preaching on Sunday at Carvale, and now with a gammy leg to mount the pulpit in.
Now, I'm going to have to pack up preaching, in winter months at least.
I couldn't do that at any time.
Met Bill Westerbury this afternoon in Chesterfield Marketplace. He's 82, a good specimen of an octogenarian.
I'm quite a different person when I'm speaking to a gathering.
Like a congregation?
Yeah.
You've always been religious.
No, far from it. Not beyond lip service, but I think it's helped me through some tricky times.
Financially?
Well, mainly. What it generally comes down to.
The Lord has never endowed me with great riches, but has showered upon me a wealth of friends and family.
You're going to have to rest it, Dad.
It just refuses to bend, even with gentle persuasion. Now I'm going to have to get rid of pullets. Well, I can't go chasing after them. And handing me resignation at the local preacher's quarterly.
Well, don't go mad just yet. Trevor can drive you about if you need to. Sundays. You know, he loves his car. So long as he can have a drink rather than listen to the sermon. I was going to measure you up for a new suit.
Oh, you still can. Oh, you...
I've been measured, me. Cynthia sent off for a navy blue suit on the now or never system. The need is now, the payment never. I've written to Mr. Swain at the Preacher's Quarterly, telling him I'm wearing the shackles of rheumatism, which distinctly cramps one's style, and I must give up. Pain and colds, so I've not been down the street. Joyce came for the weekend to paper the hall. We're an unusual household, and have passed the whole evening reading. We have no desire for a telly, and the sound radio failed to please, so there we sat. To many, it would be a strange way of passing a Saturday evening, but we like it that way.
What you reading, Dad?
Ben Hur. Still reads as interestingly as when read 60 years ago.
Oh, I enjoyed the film. I think best film I've seen.
Yeah. Oh. They said the chariot race were good.
Oh, it was.
What better than the Rome?
How long is it since you've been to the pictures?
Oh, I don't know.
How's your leg?
Well, it might be the weather, but I think it's getting better.
Easter Monday, the 7th of April. A warm day after a misty start, and Trevor called to take me out to Sandbeck. I'd been saying I wanted to see it again, where I started. And it's too far these days for an old crock. We drove along the motorway, new to me. It's terrific for pace, but you cannot examine the crops in Farmers' Field over the edge. One rushes on in mad haste, as if the devil were in pursuit. We called in at Maltby first.
Just turn down here.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
It's one way. What are you laughing at?
Myself. Me sen, as they say around here. I'm not fit to be let out.
Trevor said something I've been thinking about. He said, with me, cheerfulness is always breaking through. Now, I don't know if this is always true, but I can live with it. Is it true? Seems to me I've never been satisfied. No forward movement. Hopefulness belongs to youth, and so on. We had a splendid afternoon digging up the past. An hour's talk with old neighbour Rupert Ridgway, overjoyed to meet a former native. On who's dead and who's living.
That started happening in the war. What is it? Guns before cabbages.
Butter.
That's it.
Rose Cottage, where we live with Mother. Or the debris of Rose Cottage. It's now demolished. I'd been told that. Just grassland. A gap between houses. Then to church, where we buried Father in my 12th year. And, as I recall, the day the sun shone brightly and the weather warm. The vicar, who saw us poking about, wished to take us home for tea, but we had to get on to Sandbeck.
Well, Sandbeck Lodge is just the same. There's a big elm missing. Right, and this is where we used to live. After 60 years' absence.
Nobody about, and now a garage next to the house, open.
They'll have gone out for afternoon. We can have a look. Get out.
Two apple trees. Still in our old garden. How old? And a lot bigger. There's nothing like trees for waving a welcome. Especially tall ones. And Sandbeck Lane's just the same. Except the edges are now unkempt and neglected. And the woods used to encroach a bit more. Ideal for a kid among the deer and bracken. Birds nesting. And then we went on to Sandbeck, the big house. The lake is covered with pondweed. Royalty used to stay here. It wouldn't have been like that then. Though somebody said Princess Margaret were here last year. I remember when a horse with leather boots, so it wouldn't leave footmarks on turf, would be pulling a lawnmower on these lawns nearly every day during summer.
T-minus
15 seconds. Guidance is in.
Sunday, the 20th of July. 11, the world 10, has become moonstruck. I watched on Frieda's television set.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The only event at the afternoon was an unwelcome visit from, I call him Trab's boy, 22. Don't seem to do much. Came to one of our talks once. Said he wanted to be a poet. I mistakenly encouraged him. Tiresome caller. He settled himself in easy chair and held forth from 4:30.
My mother had a sandwich eaten by a police horse at Bakewell Show. Just reached down and walloped it. It wasn't very funny at the time.
No, well, that must have come as a shock. Was your dad a farmer?
Sold agricultural machinery.
He couldn't be got rid of till turned 5:30. The great fat porpoise. I then pruned apple trees. They need more thinning, but I lack the energy for climbing trees. Thursday, the 31st of July. Having a lie down, was disturbed by someone opening the outer door and, peeping behind the curtains, saw the overfed Trab's boy leaving the premises. A lucky escape. Did a small bit of digging. Not much, for the engine loses power rapidly. Friday, August the 1st. A dull day, inclining to rain. The fat boy called again. Rather thought he would, so locked the door after dinner. He came, tried the door, and went. Then, after washing up my dinner things, I went into the garden. He returned. I just can't win. He remarks, I called before, but you were perhaps having a nap. Yes, I said, you caught me napping. Trevor arrived this evening with a centrifugal, I think that's it, mowing machine, and mowed my orchard grass. Had such a good job of it.
I'd have been out of a job if these things existed. How much did it cost you?
Roddy, his youngest boy, accompanied him and did much execution on the flower borders. He's very interested in gardens. I managed to trip up at one point and pour some of the watering can over him. I'm not at all steady on my pins. Friday, August the 8th. I can still work as before. Anything that involves sitting down. The fat boy calls. I don't take the hint at first, I'm working. I wish I knew some painless means of extinguishing him. But I dismissed him instead with scant ceremony. The weather's picked up, and I sat in garden for a time. Raspberries shine hot and red under the hot sun. Saturday, August 30th. Slept all day. And the following day, Sunday, lost the power of speech. No use in harm. Frieda here all week. Trevor shaved me tonight. Humphrey Middleton came for some beans.
In our Writing the Century drama, The Journal of a Joskin, adapted from the journals of Fred Kitchen by Stephen Wakelam, Fred was played by Ralph Ineson, Ethel by Sarah Tom, Cynthia by Rosalind Hill, Mr. Moore by David Acton, the studio manager by Sean Mason, and Harry by Paul Stonehouse. The interview was played by Sam Dale, Jack by Monty D'Inverno, Hadfield by Paul Heath, Joyce by Jane Slavin, The Minister by Ian Conningham, and Harold by Gerard McDermott. The director was David Hunter.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.